What is up, everybody? Welcome into another interview. Today, I have an amazing artist, a good friend of mine for over 10 years, and a dude that we are collabing with for like the fourth or fifth time at this point. So I'm super excited to talk to the one and the only Luther Luzamaki. What's up, my dude? How you doing?
What up, chat?
Good to see you. You're always in the chat watching these interviews, dude. How's it feel to be on the screen hanging out today?
Awkward, a little weird, but you know, I'm gonna get through it.
Yeah, I feel you, dude. I know how it goes, man. Thanks a lot for being here, man. It's cool to finally be doing another drop after a couple of year hiatus of us like taking a little break. So it feels like, I don't know, it feels like Christmas this week, kind of in a little way to me, that we get like to show everyone this new thing we've been working on.
Hell yeah. And you got this overlay on here now you're telling me about? Now
yeah.
I get to see it. That's sick.
Dude, shout out Cody Grizz. But, you know, I can twitch it up nowadays, you know. So I had to have it looking nice for you, dude. You've been like our my BRB screen and my starting soon screen. Like it all has Luzamaki spirals, I think, on it in the beginning still. So
oh, yeah.
I might have to update it with this white version, though, because it is crispy, dude. It looks so nice. thanks for joining though, dude. I think it's gonna be cool to, like, with everyone that I've had on in the last few weeks, I've just been going deep into the, you know, depths of their kendama journey and where it started and how they got to where they are. And I think, you know, a lot of new age players don't necessarily know why me and you are friends or why we even work together or how we got
to know each other.
Yeah, dude. So I think it's cool to, like, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit and show people, you know, how we got to where we are a little bit. So why don't we start at the beginning? Like, what was your first touch point with kendama?
My first, like, thing that I even actually saw it, I was living in Korea. And then this goes all the way back. And I don't even want to talk probably about all that. But with Clack, like with, it was Kevin. I actually knew Kevin back in Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah, we rode bikes together.
No way.
And he was just started doing this thing, you know, he was wood turning his own and just playing with it. And I was like, what is this thing? Like, but I kept seeing it and I was like, okay, it got my interest. But then I was like, how do I get one in Korea? And then randomly on Instagram, I saw like Ryan Cabal.
Yeah.
And then like he had one and I was just like, well, I was like, do you have any more so I could just get one? And then, at that time, I guess he hooked up with Shane, your good buddy.
Dude.
And like, and you guys had sent him like a box of kendamas. So then they had some of those chameleons.
Oh my gosh.
So that was like my first one, which is like, I still just have the Tama only, but.
Dang, that was one of your first damas?
Yeah, this is my first one.
Whoa, the Seafoam Chameleon, bro.
Yeah.
Let's go. That's
like,
so
I saw
sick.
The color, I was like, I had to get it.
Dude, do you know,
so that was my first one.
Yeah, I mean, the Cabal story is crazy, and I don't know if you know this, but when Shane told me he was leaving, like he just came to the shop always to kick it or whatever before, after his other job before he started at Sweets, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to Korea. And I was like, dude, there's no way I can't find someone in Korea who plays kendama. Like, that was my first thought. And I just went to YouTube and I typed in Korea kendama and Ryan Cabal's ass showed up. And I DM'd him. And I think it was the next day I got an answer. And I was so excited because, you know, kendama just binds us, you know. So I felt like immediately I found Shane a homie to kick it with before he ever even got to Korea. And it was true. If you know Ryan, he is one of the nicest humans in the whole world. So like,
he's super nice.
There couldn't have been a nicer person to meet or to have introduce you to a town or, you know, a city than Ryan. It's crazy. And so Shane met Ryan and got a kendama without, and then you met Shane through Ryan.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, like my second time meeting up with Ryan, that like, you know, actually people who know how to play. So I'm like, you know, I'm gonna learn from them. So
yeah.
And then I got to meet up with Shane because he came to Seoul one weekend, and yeah, we just all hit it off from there. Like already, we were just kind of vibe with each other just through this, you know.
Yeah.
Wooden toy, but like even without it, I was just like, these dudes are cool. Like, and we just became like really good friends and still keep in contact now. So
yeah, dude. So what were you doing in Korea? Could you mute me if you have the Twitch stream on or anything in the background?
See, it's my mic and then my speaker. So I'll maybe move the mic away.
Yeah, just a smidge. I think it should be chill because I can still hear you good.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Yeah, that's perfect. Because I just heard enough reverb where I was like, yeah, you're good. Okay, so what were you doing in Korea? Because like where did you grow up? Where are you from originally?
I'm a military brat, as they probably would say it. So we moved around, but it was only between like North Carolina and Clarksville and Fort Campbell. They're basically right on the line of Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, between those two states, mostly until I went to college in Charlotte, and then that's where I met Kevin. And then, after that, I was just teaching English in Korea because, since I'm half Korean, a lot of my family does not like visit the States at all. Oh, so it's like my way. I was like, okay, I'm going to go visit y'all in a way, like, and get to, you know, spend time with my mom's side of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go to school for teaching or anything like that?
No, actually.
Cool. It was just a way to travel then. Like,
but it was like the requirement was just kind of like have a clean record and then have a degree and you speak English. Yeah. And that was it. My job was basically to like get not grammar teaching mostly. It was mostly like just to get them to talk. Because that's the hardest thing I feel like in languages. Like you can be so smart. Like book smart or whatever, do the grammar, but using it in real life situation, it's like they can do it. You know, they would be like number one in grammar, but like speaking wise, they would be, you know,
they couldn't put a sentence together in real time.
And I was just there to kind of give them the confidence, really.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool job, like to not have to do the monotony of like teaching nouns and verbs. It's like, yo, here's
how. Yeah, I didn't have to do all that. Like, I probably learned stuff from there. I don't know.
How long?
Like, oh, that's why it is. That's why it is. You know?
Yeah, yeah. How long did you do that?
Like 4 years. I was like at a public school in Busan, which is like the second biggest city, and it's like all the way down on the southern end of the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like the first time I ever like lived by the ocean. Like I would just walk 5 minutes, and then I would just be at the ocean. So I spent like all my time there, pretty much.
That's sick.
Yeah, it just does something to you. I feel like if you live by a body of water or something like that, it's pretty crazy.
It does. So. It's invigorating. It gives you life for sure, man. I feel different always when I'm near water like that. In Japan or Hawaii or any of those places, it's always it's a different vibe when you can wake up and be a walk away from the ocean. It's so nice. So where did art come into play when you were going to high school and stuff? Was like art a big part of your life at all? Have you always been creative, or is it something that you took on later in life?
I always liked art. I drew and stuff, but it wasn't like anything crazy. It would just be like doodles and things for fun when I was younger. Like through high school, I wanted to be a doctor. Like,
dang.
Then I was terrified of like not like, I'm obviously you can choose different professions with it, but for some reason my head was just always like, I want to be a doctor, like surgeon type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't deal with someone like, I don't know, couldn't saving someone or whatever like that. And
yeah, yeah.
I was just like, that completely just changed. And then I went to like computer science. So I was doing programming. Realized I hated that after the first year.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd rather do graphics and stuff. So that moved me to like graphic design. So that's what I mostly studied was graphic design.
Oh, cool.
But we always have to, you know, all the art majors, I believe, have to take like things in other classes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing a lot of printmaking and stuff like that. So that's where I kind of like started drawing a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Yeah. So in college is when like... you were trying to decide your major and it kind of like got you towards where you really felt like is what you loved to do, you were inspired by.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, while I was in Korea is when I developed this style specifically, as I was just getting really, I was getting tattooed there, and I was going to Japan and getting tattooed. So I was just really into like a lot of the traditional artwork. So a lot of the backgrounds became like my focus of like, and a lot of like Japanese tattoos. I focus heavy on just the background. Like I love the background. So that's kind of where the spirals developed. And then, yeah. And they're just always changing too. Cause I look back at like my old work and I can tell like kind of the year I did it just based on the shape of and how the lines are going.
Yeah. Yeah. Were there ever any other patterns that caught your eye along the way? And like, was the spiral something like when you, I don't know how to say it. It's like, did you have the intention of being Luzumaki? Like, did you have this intention of like, I would like to be an artist. In order to be an artist, I need a motif. And I really enjoy these backgrounds. And like, you go through a ton and you land on spiral, or like, walk me through like kind of where, how you got to where you are with this, like focus on these spirals, you know?
I really don't know. Like it's, I did just love like some of the just spiral backgrounds within tattoo. I love, and the stippling came about from just like, I love just using the one color, like, and with that one color, I can make shades or gradients and things like that. So that was my way of doing with my pen and stuff to get that kind of gradient finish or whatever within the spiral.
Yeah.
Kind of to mimic what tattoo to me looked like, where they actually got to use, you know, like shades or washes and actually get that smooth gradient. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm just doing it, you know, that was my kind of my way of mimicking it.
Yeah, because it's kind of like pointillism, right? Like in the beginning, I feel like Luzumaki was even more truly that than it is now, where you have some more harder lines. Like in the beginning, mm-hmm. was it truly just like stippling or pointillism, or did you have some hard lines in the beginning as well?
There was, at least far as on a kendama, mm-hmm. there was only one that I fully stippled. And I'm glad that Ryan still has it. nice. And I told him, I was like, if you ever get rid of it or trying to sell, like, I will take that back, because that one I invested way too much time into. Like the solid blacks that are there are all stippled. Dang. So you can actually like go into it and actually just see, like, I don't know, it gives it kind of a texture instead of just filling with black.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference. But yeah, like, so he has that one. Yeah, and that was the last one I did like that, because I was like, that was insane.
So how close does kendama and your Luzumaki art coincide? Like to me, I feel like the first thing on your website was kendamas. Like you know what I'm saying? Was Luzumaki born out of the success from the kendamas, or do you think it was the other way around somehow?
I think so. It was just like my first point of like, because I sold stuff in college, like, you know, making art or whatever, and not really pricing it as well as I should have.
Yeah.
This like really made me value my time.
Yeah, word.
To the point, so like, you know, earlier prices don't reflect now. That I learned a lot on the way and tried to like on FKC, like there'd be people doing customs or something. I'm like, how much time did that take you? And try to make them do the math in their head and be like, you know, at least give them like, oh, I'm only making this per hour really. And it took me this long. It's just like, yeah, I wanted y'all to like kind of just value your time, put more value in the art. And that was like my big thing on, I don't know, doing art on kendamas, was just like to get people to not just look at it as a tama, you know, like look at it as like an actual piece of art as well. Like, and I think that took some time as well.
Yeah.
For people to come around on that.
Well, I think
maybe still too.
Yeah, I think so. But I think you also entered the game at like the grain theory era of kendama too, I believe, where people were out,
like their first one, exactly, the little wormhole and everything.
And it was what, $120, right? It was kind of like unprecedented.
I don't even know. I think I missed that whole first.
Yeah, it was. They were expensive. Is kind of my point. Where like, so when your tamas came out, and the stuff you were making came out, it wasn't this like, why is he charging so much? I think it helped you with the fact that it was like this artisan type of vibe on it. And it just all looked really cool. I mean, I think that's always something that you've got going for you. That's just like, your design doesn't discriminate, you know, like there isn't a reason to dislike it really, because it isn't too one thing or another. And I've always loved it about that is it whenever we apply it to some or you apply it to things, it somehow gives it this new life of its own. And I've always enjoyed that about it. It's super cool.
That's what I liked about it, I think, is just kind of like, I don't know, even within the art and like in the drawings and stuff that I would do. Like, I always think about, what is the spiral? Like, it used to be just the background sometimes. Like, in other ones, it's like an actual thing, mm-hmm. like, that's doing something, or it's some sort of portal, or I don't know, or it's just pretty. Like, and I like that. Like, and then everyone can look at it and, you know, get kind of whatever they want from it. And yeah. That's what I like the most for art. Like, I don't like art that really is too, I don't know, explains everything. Mm-hmm. And like, no, it's this. Like, I just want everyone to have their own, you know, interpretation, and that's cool. Like,
yeah, dude. Well, and that being said, you've had like some cool brands and stuff. Like, I knew you at the beginning as Eat Your Young, right? Like, that was yeah. like your original brand. Like, do you want to tell the squad or tell the chat what Eat Your Young is?
Damn, I wish I had that. I have that sketchbook somewhere. Or it has like the beginnings of all this stuff.
Really?
And explanations, but it's more so like, it sounds very like gruesome and everything like that, but like when you just look at nature, a lot of the stuff, like inspiration came from that, of just like, I forget which species of animals did it, but it's just like when like their young is in danger of something eating it, they're like, I spent all this energy basically to create this for like the next generation or whatever, and this whatever predator is going to come and eat it, it's like, no, I'm just going to eat it and like re-nourish myself to try again. So that was kind of like the thing, is just not giving up, and I don't know, just that desire of winning, kind of like, or overcoming.
Mm-hmm. So no, I think it's
hard to get that like that explanation from what it's actually says, like Eat Your Young, but that's where it was kind of came from in a weird way.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought it was cool because I felt like I was wearing art at a certain point when I wore the sweatshirt that had that statement.
The logo was very clean. I don't like to like hype myself up on stuff like that, but like that one, I really love that logo. So.
No, it was very, very cool. And I think it is like, you could bring it back at any point and it would still be dope. Cause it
I have people asking, but I'm just always like, is it really? Like, do people really like it? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, but you never ran an actual batch in the Luzumaki era, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think so. Yeah. I might have done like a tiny, tiny little batch, but like that was about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to just do, I don't know, focus too many on multiple things for me. So
I mean, that was one of my questions, honestly. Like, so from Kendama, you started with Kendama, and we can talk about how me and you worked together and how we got together to do our stuff.
There's still a ton.
Yeah. But I wanted to ask about like all the other things you make. You make a lot of random shit, like, and shit is the wrong word. You make a lot of random awesome stuff, okay? And I'm curious as just like to the inspiration of it, like to do just random things. And like, is it just art, or are you like a marketing genius, or like, you know what?
I hope so, man.
Huh?
Yeah. I would like to think so, but yeah. I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
No, like a lot of some of the random stuff, like, I mean, some of it's not so random, like skateboards, grip tape, like,
yeah.
Not fingerboards now, but like fingerboards when I remember them, mm-hmm. when they were a lot smaller.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see all the changes. But anyways.
Do you have a favorite out of all those things? Like
I don't know. The grip tape's kind of fun. Like, I think grip tape.
I have some cool grip tape back in my storage still. And to me, that was one of those ones where, like, you didn't explain shit. You just made this crazy looking grip tape that, like, Yeah. Had like a, wasn't there like a dragon claw coming out of the grip tape?
Yeah, the first one, yeah, had a dragon claw coming out.
Yeah, so epic, dude. It's, that's one of my favorite things. I mean, Sweets Kendamas owns a couple of your pieces. And by Sweets Kendamas, I mean, I think Gabe personally bought them for the shop, you know? So I got to give him his props because he's been one of your biggest like fans since the jump. And we have your, how big is it? Like 4 feet by 3 feet or something crazy? Like
like that big, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's something like that.
I think it's like 5x5 or something. I don't know.
But you did that a minute ago, right? Like, and that was also stippled a lot. Like, because you can, it's when you can truly see how much is going into it. Because on that big canvas, to fill it with points is crazy.
Yeah, my wrist has been, over the years, my wrist has definitely taken a beating. So
yeah, dude, I can't imagine.
All the crackling I can hear now. But
yeah.
I don't know, like as far as like favorite thing, like I don't know. But as far as the randomness, I do just want it on as many things as possible.
Word.
Like as random as I can get, like I can tell you I've been on like trying to get, you know, those like scrub daddies.
Yeah.
Like, but I wanted of my logo, like you can see at the bottom of the screen, like that Luzumaki, but that as a scrub daddy. Like I've had these type of ideas. It's just like that's how random I get. Like
yeah. So that's like on the top of your like idea board is scrub daddy. Yeah.
Just like
I mean acid tabs is a pretty funny one to me. I mean funny may not be the right word. It's like
cool.
Yeah, it's just a cool medium to put it on. You know what I'm saying? Like you can put it on it never in a million years would I think to do that with my art, you know? But that's where I don't know. That's where I think using the word art is so true when talking with you because you do just add your own little spice to things to like climbing bag stuff, you know, the chalk and the shoes. Like are those like those aren't production shoes. That's you hand painting shoes that you buy, right? Like
that's me like kind of trying to make the same thing with Kendama happen. Like maybe if I like do enough shoes, like a company will see and be like, "Yeah, let's make these."
Yeah. I mean, do you like, do you actively tag them and like send them DMs saying like, yo, look what I did to your shoes?
Yeah, the recent like shoe that I just got, like that fits me really well.
Yep.
Like I reached out to them because I saw them collab with someone. So I was just like, for something different, they were like a YouTuber, but I hit them up because I was like, well, they're willing. They've done this. So
yeah.
Maybe they'll be, you know, interested, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard nothing. I haven't heard anything back. So.
Man.
Not yet. I'll keep trying though.
Yeah,
I keep sending annoying emails.
You just gotta find those companies that are just small enough still to like want and need like some uniqueness to their brand. You know, like So Ill. Have you ever heard of them in the climbing world? Like,
I've seen some of their shoes and stuff.
Yeah, some of their like that's the ones I personally use. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
But that's
I've been really big into climbing if people couldn't tell. Like it's just it's like my new like I don't know.
It's your new kendama, dude. Yeah, I mean I think I've told you before too, like climbing is like I was in the best shape of my life when I climbed. And when I didn't have kids and had free time, that was like my favorite thing to go do when I had a few hours to chill is because you're like you're actively trying to like puzzle stuff out with your brain, but also working your body to its full extent. Every day, because like you don't stop just when it's fun. You stop once you can't grip things anymore with your hands. You know, like
you're like so pumped you can't even grab anything.
Yeah, for real.
But no, it's like like you're saying though, it's just like you're doing all that, and it's just like you're not even thinking about the exercise that you're getting out of it. You're just like, I just want to get to the top of this thing.
Yeah.
But really, you're doing all of this. Like I don't know.
Yeah, if you have ADD and don't like working out, it is like the best workout in the world because I just it checks off all those boxes for me as a human of like an activity that I like to do. But then also, yeah, your cardio, you're getting your upper body, your lower body, everything. And then if you get deep into it, like you have no choice but to get more fit if you want to get better at climbing. Like that's just the only next step is it's not about how smart you are to an extent. It's about how like much you push your body to like be able to physically do some of those things, which is the cool part about a sport like that. Much like disc golf or something too, which you've done a lot with disc golf. I own more than a few Luzumaki discs.
I was going to say, you were looking for a new putter, right?
Yeah. I,
Well, do you already have one?
Yeah.
Do you have the AVR and Yeti one?
I do.
Oh, and, damn. I was going to send that.
No, dude, here, look at I've got a... Oh, no. So I've got these ones.
So a lot of these are gifts, and I can't remember where they all came from, but this was... Booth, when he moved here,
yeah, Booth.
He moved here to like work at the sweet shop, and this is like one of
the. And that's the first batch.
Yeah, this he gifted this to me because I didn't have one of the first batches, and this will never be thrown. Like this just sits up on my shelf. No, like I'm not a hoarder of discs like I am Kendama. Like I throw discs for them to be lost, and that is the goal essentially. If it gets lost, I don't feel bad, but I have this one too, which was I think. The one with the eye was a second batch one.
Oh yeah,
this one.
That one was sick too. I can't remember what one that was though.
No, me neither.
Firebird maybe. Maybe not.
Whatever it is, it didn't make the bag because it was too understable. That's what I remember. But
oh, okay.
Because I'm bad at throwing understable discs, and I didn't want to lose it. So, there's that yeah, one.
The
there's...
first ones I came out with, I was just like just doing them. And then after that batch, I was just like, okay, now I got to look at actual models and see what people actually like.
Yeah, exactly, dude. This one is a gift from Roish. I didn't have one of this batch, the flower.
Oh, nice.
This one still has his name on it.
Oh, that one's the Firebird, actually.
Yeah, this one is. So, yeah, this one was, what was the mid-range ones? I can't remember the names of them.
I know I had a Toro. It. I think there was a Toro that was like light purple. And I think that was it.
This one. This is a T-Bird, I believe.
Oh, T-Bird 3.
This one is beautiful.
That one was crazy.
This one, I
they had like halos available. I was like, all right,
yeah.
I do halos.
I've thrown this one a few times. Coop actively throws his. But I just have so many discs now that I feel silly just losing one. You know what I'm saying? Like these mean enough to me and have been gifted so that I'm like, I have enough discs. I don't need to throw ones that mean stuff to me at this point, which I lost my first Ace disc, which guts me every time I think about it.
Damn.
That's what happens when you're an idiot.
And congrats on that card, by the way, though.
Oh, dude, thanks. I mean... You can have one too for $50, but it's like I wasn't going to buy it and just I wasn't going to buy it and not enter a tournament, I guess. And that's kind of I travel for Kendama so much and with the kids grow like they're yeah. finally old enough and I finally have my traveling figured out where like I know I could get a couple tournaments in and not feel bad about like taking my whole summer to go disc all these places. But for yeah. $50, I feel like I'm just supporting a sport that I really enjoy and like love being a part of. And the competitor inside of me is super stoked to go like game day. I'm going to be like, I don't know how I'm going to feel, but like I've been in a couple tourneys that don't mean much, but there's going to be like hundreds of dollars on the line. So I'm going to be like, let's go like headphones yeah. in maybe even you know I don't know we'll see
yeah, I used to play a bunch in college and I would just throw you probably have like a bag don't you got a bag and
oh yeah we got all the actually, things yeah
I just had like I think a beast and then that was it like that was my everything like I just threw that and then you lose it and then you just go buy
go
another
get a new
one
beast
and,
yeah
and
dude Surge yeah Surge SS was mine So I've been playing disc for 16 years or something since like 2006 or something. So whatever, however many that is, it's a lot of years. But it's 18 years. Good math, sweets. So I've been playing for 18 years, but for 13 of those years probably, I threw a Surge, a Magnet, and a Buzz. And like those are the only three discs I ever had because I didn't lose them. I got good enough to not lose them and then I just threw them and then I was playing with a dude one day who's like, what are you doing? Like, why do you not have different discs? Like, that disc doesn't fly the way it's supposed to. It's beat up. Like, what are you doing? And I threw a fresh disc, and I was like, oh, that's sick. Like, it actually flew and did what it was supposed to. And that was, like, the day I got rehooked. It was like playing – it's like I was playing with an F3 in the age of, you know, legend shapes. Like, essentially is how I got – equivalated to it and then I was like oh like if you want to get better at some point, the equipment does matter, you know, in sports. Yeah. Like, it's just how it goes.
Yeah. I always think about it. I'm like, if I started on these like newer kendamas back then, like,
can you imagine? I just look at
like the old shapes and always comparing them, like the cup sizes and everything. I'm just like, man, even the tomaholes, like they're just.
That's probably the most extreme difference. Like even the cups are cups, but like spiking it is the hardest part, period. And before we had less room to give, we had shorter spikes to hit it and smaller holes to hit. So it was like everything about it was more difficult.
Yeah, even the old like sweet one, that's not.
No, those are tiny, bro.
The bevel is like non-existent.
Yeah. Okay, so let's tell like our story just a little bit. So
yeah.
You and Shane became friends, who was my friend, and then I was traveling to Japan for the KWC for my first time.
One. Yeah. Yep. First one.
And so I was like, well, dude, if I'm on that side of the world, I'm not gonna not go see my friend Shane in Korea, you know? And so we went there, and then he obviously, you guys had been friends for a minute, so he made sure that you were in town or that we connected while we were in Korea. And I think it was just like maybe one day we kicked it, that one whole day where we went and did a bunch of touristy stuff and bowled and all that stuff, right?
Might have been like one little weekend, I think.
Yeah.
I tried to like be there for sure for a lot of the days because I know we were at a climbing gym one time.
Oh, yeah, that was. Yeah, we did go to
some other nights too. Like we were in Itaewon one night. So,
man, I forget some of those times in Korea, bro. Like I remember some things specifically, but the bowling day where we had poju and stuff, like I've never had a worse hangover in my whole life than that next day. I bowled my best game of bowling in my whole life, like that day. But I was like, I probably don't remember the night you're talking about because of all the soju that we had that day.
Yeah, it was definitely the soju mixed with the Powerade,
dude. And I didn't know what it was or what it was doing because it was like literally a dollar.
Yeah, drink it.
Yeah, it was a dollar, and I drink the whole thing and find out it's pure alcohol, like. Vodka, but doesn't taste like it. It tastes like juice, you know? And
yeah, it was dangerous.
It was dangerous, but it's a memory that I'll never forget because it was one of our first times hanging out, and I was just absolutely sent. But like also traveling as what, a 24-year-old at that point too, you're just down for whatever. So I was like,
and I mean, we were in Itaewon, like it was just nightlife stuff. Just
dude, that was a nightlife place. I've
seen. Also, you had like the, this is just like a throwback, even how I used to care about my kendama. Like I used to like just almost cry when it would drop on the ground.
Oh.
And then you had just got like came back from KWC. So I think you had the
sparkling like, green
prism or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just doing like, you know, hand rolls or something. And then like walking in front of us and I see you drop it. No reaction. Just pick it up. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and then later when we were eating dinner and I needed my beer opened, you just grabbed the can like and just popped it open. And I was just like, this guy's insane. Like he does not care about, I was like, it was like brand new.
It was a brand new Mugen.
Like, yeah. It like kind of changed my, I don't know, perception on it too, where I'm just like, okay, these are meant to be used and I shouldn't, you know, care about it too much if I drop it.
I embodied it with that kendama because I walked out of, like, it was the first Mugen and I had just met Kazuma and bought it in the store, but I bought it with the intention of playing it because I only played sweets kendamas, imagine, up until this point, like, literally didn't play any other kendama, but I was, like, giving myself a pass to play this Mugen because of the trip and because of all the things. And so I took it out of the store and the first thing I did was do a spacewalk line and it went straight to the cobbled streets of Japan. And like, I like everyone like went silent, like, like, and I kind of just started and did the same thing. I kind of picked it up, no reaction, and just started playing. And everyone like wanted to see the dents and wanted to see all the things. And I was like, yo, like I bought this dama to play it. I did not buy it to like resell it in America or, you know, I have others to keep nice. Like this one was to play. Yeah. And it was, I think it's only because it was a Mugen that I like had that that feeling, because I was like, well, whatever. Like, I gave myself the pass to just throw $140 to the ground, because
it was just so crazy, though. I was just like, this man opened my beer with it. Like, I was just like, and it had the mark still, like, at the base cup, like, right on the stall, like, part. And I was just like, wow, man, this guy.
Yeah, dude, this is the one, bro, that opened her up right here. All that dirt. But yeah, this was the Dama, like, that 10
years ago, you opened a beer for me with that.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, I just threw this thing to the ground, didn't care about its well-being for 1 second. But it's probably one of my most honed Mugen Kendamas, and it's not even really close, you know, Kazuma's signature from the first time I met him, you know.
Yeah,
like, this Kendama holds nice. mad amounts of lore, that's for sure. Oh, I want
with the gold seal.
I can't see the hole. It's so black, dude. Like, yeah, there it is.
Literally, yeah, I was like that. And you were telling me, I don't know where you'd come from either. I don't know if it was Vietnam or somewhere like that.
Taiwan.
About games. Taiwan.
That's where I was.
Where you were playing, like, games of Ken, and, like, when you got out, they would cut your string. I was just like, man, these are some crazy games. Like,
yeah, dude, that was in the Taiwan. They would get all drunk, and they would play games of Ken for strings, essentially. So you lose, you get your string cut. That, I don't even remember that, bro. That's so funny. Yeah, that was actually
all these random things.
It's a good drinking game, you know? Like, it's a fun drinking game if everyone's on the same level. That's for sure. So we kick it, we hang out, like,
you hang out with us, the Pooh Crew.
Yeah, oh my god, I forgot that was your guys' name. Gomchi.
Yeah, Gomchi was there.
Gomchi. He was my chaperone for, like, the part time I wasn't with you guys in Korea. He was, like, the dude who showed me around a bunch.
Yeah, knew the most and then could translate really well.
Like, yeah, dude.
English so well.
Yeah, he was such a nice dude. He took me to see all kinds of crazy temples, and we went up the mountains to go to these crazy places. Like, some of the gnarliest pictures I have are from just the afternoon I had before the airplane with that dude. It was crazy.
Yeah, so then I don't know, I guess you came there and I met you.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first thing. Met you and actually Christian Frazier.
Yep.
He stayed just for overnight, and then he had an early flight and left.
Yep.
But then I don't know, I kept playing Kendama basically from then, and then until I moved back to the States. And then that's when I was, like, working in New York when you guys came for the toy fair.
Yeah, so how many years is this? Is this 2016 we meet up for toy fair, or is it 2015?
Might be 2016. Yeah. 2015, I forget which one it is.
Yeah,
I just know it was winter.
Yeah, word.
It was definitely cold.
February. Yeah. Always.
But that's when I, like, you know, Gabe was there as well. So that's when I first met Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And was talking to y'all. That's when I just kind of, I think at that point I was, like, you know, selling these by my, like, doing the one-offs all by, on the site and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all selling. So I kind of had, like, at least, like, some precedent or, you know, something to pitch towards, you know.
Yep.
Y'all, and be like, what do y'all think about making Kendama with me? Because it's just like, I like the one-offs and everything, but I saw how many people would want, you know, something with my art on it. So it was just my way of, like, okay, they can get something at least, like, you know, it's in a more reasonable price range than the one-offs and all that. But then, yeah, Gabe was down from the jump. So,
yeah. I remember that being the goal of, like, because I remember what we had lunch at some burger spot or something. And I think Shane or someone has pictures of us where we were chatting that day. And I think the goal was to, like, let's make a Luzumaki that everyone can afford, I think, was the goal from the jump. Was,
yeah.
How do we let everyone who wants your art to be able to afford it? And that's been the goal ever since, you know, is to
mm-hmm.
provide a Dama that's, you know, like, of a high aesthetic, but is at an affordable price point, which I think, you know, we've done a good job of. And there's been tons of iterations, dude, you know, like the first one.
We've done a lot.
Dude, the first one was such a hit that we did three more subsequent colors that came after it, yeah. Or two other subsequent colors. It was red and then yellow and then green.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first three. What?
And then the camp one came out at some point.
The camp Kendama came out after that, I think, as like mm-hmm. the fourth Luzumaki. So those were two different times we worked together. And then the third one was the Evangelion series, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was based on an anime.
Yeah, minus the first colorway was just my regular colorway. After that, yeah, it was all.
Oh, yeah. The first one was like the red and black, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. And then there were three other ones after that.
Yep. And then even before the produced ones, we did like the Maple Homegrowns that y'all pro cleared, I believe. And then,
man, I don't.
We did two of those batches.
We did Homegrowns before we did the actual like China runs.
Yep.
Wow. I wonder who has those. I haven't seen the pictures of those in a minute.
I've seen just a couple. I don't know where they all are, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. I forgot those existed, man. Dang. That's sick.
Yeah, like one, I don't know if he's in the chat, but like I know like on Instagram, Mr. Durf, like he's definitely collected like and hunts them now. It's like a lot of the older work.
Oh, really?
That I've done. And that's my way of actually getting to see them again. He'll show me a picture. I'll be like, oh, shit. I did this kind of back in this time frame. And
yeah,
it's kind of cool just to kind of still see that they're existing.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have a favorite from the ones you've done with us? Like out of all of them, or is there one that sticks out in your mind as like one that you love the most?
Honestly, the newest one, not to just be corny, but like the newest one's very clean and I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from the past series though. I mean, the Ava one was pretty good. Like, I don't know if I have a favorite in there. I just like what I did with it, like the colorway and like, especially with the change for the yellow one to the blue. I just like, I don't know. That one came out very clean and like, I think that's pre-COVID also. So that's also kind of, in my head because the factory was on point.
Yeah.
To that point.
Yeah, 1,000,000%, I would agree, dude. The purple and green one, I was obviously a little, I obviously leaned that way.
That one went better than I thought it would, but then actually looking at it, and I remember you saying, like, oh, you made, like, a mod for me.
Yeah, dude, essentially. That's how I felt. It was sick. Yeah, I've loved them all. I think the first one has a place in my heart, you know, because I don't know. I know you know this, but Chad probably doesn't. But our biggest sales ever for many, many, many years were Luzumaki drops. Like we didn't drop kendamas like we do now. It was few and far between when we had drops, and so you know, and they were never huge splashes like Grain Theories or like other companies. And so Lou was like, when we dropped that first Luzumaki, it was the first time we had like an influx of sales on our website that was of a number that was like, holy cats, like we didn't order the right amount of kendamas. And that was never a problem before you started like doing stuff with us. So
that's cool.
Yeah. I remember as a business owner being like, oh, shoot, like there were 200 people on my site at one time. It was like, what is going on? You know, and it was, and your drops did that for a very, very long time. And I have no doubt that that'll be happening this Friday as well, because there's a lot of collectors, but also with the new shape and with all the new stuff, the new paints and everything, I think that this is just, it's one of the most honed versions for sure, you know, like out of all of them yet. And the cleanliness of it is on another level. So maybe, like, instead of teasing these people so much, maybe we should just give them a little peek at what they're going to be able to get this Friday, dude.
All right. You know, I got to lead with box.
Oh, that looks familiar, dude.
Yeah. No, we just changed it up, you know, got the white to kind of go with the.
I mean, first time ever, right?
That we've been doing. Yeah.
First time with white. Almost always it's a black aesthetic with.
Man, with still, you know, we got the side that shows that red accent.
Mm hmm.
And let me see. Here we go. I got to wait till it pops up on the screen.
No worries.
Okay. There's the seal and everything. And you can see that we did added some engraving to the sides.
So clean.
Still with the. With the base cup hole with the red.
Yeah, perfect for tracking.
And then for the Tama, we went with the something completely different than what I usually do. I do a lot of black, but this one was has a lot of meaning to it. So, I'll explain later. But so he's got all this white with the gray accent and the spirals, top red tracking dot, and then little overspray white to fade it out and changed out what people call the radar lines, but they're actually clouds. Took that out in change for this stripe here at about the 30 mark. That's about it. That's the Dhamma.
Dude.
I can explain parts of it.
Yeah. Give us a little explanation. I mean, the cleanliness, bro. I love white. And, you know, white, we've had white Luzumaki samples of this for years, like years and years and years. I've had to stare at white samples being like, I wonder what day the day will come when we like finally send it on the white. But I'm glad it's finally here, dude.
Yeah, it was like one, you know, I don't know if people know the process too much, but like I kind of come up with colorways far in advance just to see, you know, give us time for the inevitable mistakes, you know, that may pop up, or like, no, this didn't turn out right. Let's just change it barely, you know, like a shade, things like that. So a lot of the colorways like are thought of very early on. So yeah, we've had this sample for a long time, and I'm stoked it's finally coming out. I had very specifics for it. Like I was like, we have to release it in the winter. And to go with that, like I wanted to call it Noon, to kind of go with like, and I like to play on words, like especially because Noon, if you kind of pronounce it a little bit in Korean, like Noon is snow or eye. And also, you know, in English, it just means, you know, 12 o'clock. So, and usually that's all the way, you know, high noon or whatever. So that's kind of like, to deal with the top tracking dot here. It's white, obviously, for snow. And I don't know. I just kind of like to play that whole thing with my Korean and American heritage, I guess, and culture. It's like where I first discovered Kendama was in Korea, and it was winter. So there's just like a lot that kind of goes into it. And like when I first started, let me see, like the Mugen Musos that came out, Snow Gold might have just came out. Yeah. And I missed all of that. So like my first drop I got it from was like the Orange Breeze.
Oh, dang.
But so like in this Tama though, there is like, it probably won't show up, but there is like a slight like gold sparkle. So that's kind of just like, I don't know, paying homage to like, I don't know, I guess Mugen Musso or like all of that. Cause like I got a lot of gains from that.
Dude, yeah, Snow Gold. I switched to that, I was Snow like, Gold I was after this. In. Yeah, that was the next color after the green one. So you probably saw the one I had and was like, okay, I'm going to get one of those someday. And then like, what, a month or two later, you finally said it.
I was like, finally got it. I still always wanted a sparkling green, but I was just like, all right, I got the Orange Breeze.
Yeah.
But that Snow Gold is one that always I saw. And I was just like, that is a beautiful Tama. Like, that light, like that subtle gold tint that it has when light hits it. Dude. So I just want to pay like a little homage to that. And then without like, I don't know, I feel like this Dhamma has like a lot of meaning in it without a lot, I don't know, on it to tell it, like, you know, I have to tell it all, but like there is a lot of meaning in it.
No, I think and that's, but the people in chat love that stuff. Like they're the ones who are going to buy it and retell your stories. You know, I think that's the coolest part about it is because to the normal person, you don't have to know anything about sweets or Luzumaki to think that's a pretty sick looking kendama, I would say, because I've had it for a couple weeks now and I keep picking it up off my shelf just because of how nice it looks. You know what I'm saying? And that's a weird thing to say. Some dhammas are like goofy or you got colors that are go with certain things, but this dhamma you can put on any outfit with anything and it's like a really nice piece, I think.
Yeah, I like how clean it came out. Like it's just like, I don't know, almost from any angle. I was just really liked how this one came out. Like it just has enough of the red accents.
Yeah.
And then the seal changed to the, we printed black ink, I guess, on it. I just, I don't know, feel like it completes the whole look for it.
And people have been asking, what does that say on it?
Do what?
What does the seal say?
Oh, it just says it says Luzumaki in Korean, basically. Luzumaki. So, like, if I can explain, let me see. Sorry for my fingers. They're all fucked up from climbing. but that part would be Lu. And then this part, Ju. And then Maki is up this part there.
Dope. Someone had a good question in chat. What woods did you use?
I always use maple on maple. Like, I loved maple on maple since the homegrowns. The sound that it made is just too, I don't know, just it's, it makes the trick feel that much better when you just like hard down spike it and it just has that clink, like of that maple on maple sound. So I just went with maple on maple always just for that sound. But it does have a cherry stripe in here.
I think that's a very big deal. We don't want to overlook that. Paulson and Luzumaki always like have spliced the Tamas to try to get the weight matching perfect. And this time we went minimalist and just put a big piece of cherry in between the maple to try to get the weights close. Because I know a lot of you have been buying setups, noticed that the Tamas are heavier than the Kens a lot of the time. So with this adjustment of the splicing of the Tama, we've been able to get the two pieces way closer than we ever have been with a normal setup as of late. So that's pretty sick.
Yeah, I like the sound and everything. And then I know it doesn't takes a while to break in, but it's just something that just goes with playing Dama. I mean, I'm used to like, I mean, on FKC, people used to be like, they would get their Kenko Gurs or whatever and be playing it and like, oh, it's not broken in or like it's slipping. The people would be like, you need 2 weeks. Like that used to be like I feel like a standard was like 2 week break-in period.
At least, bro. I forgot. Yeah. Like I'm playing this Maple Bevel and I'm like, what? I've been playing with 8-tack Kens and stuff that's just sticking. And then you get a maple on maple bevel and it's like, wow, even licking the bevel isn't stopping it. Like you have to really remember your fundamentals of Kendama when you start playing with maple on maple again. But again, when it wears in, it's one of the most honed Tamas you can possibly have because it isn't going to break down like a beech or a bamboo or an ash will. It'll hold its form longer, which is cool.
Yeah, me and Paulson, we were scheming. Like, we had, because I told him, I was like, I still want the, like, maple on maple sound, but I want the beach playability. So we did have it, like, pre-COVID, where we did have, like, this is an old sample, and so beat up, but it's, like, it held up so good.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID stuff. But, like, the beach bevel, like, or, like, the sliver we put right at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So you still get the maple sound, but you had all the like beach for all your stalls.
Yeah.
But we just, I don't know. I think after COVID, we were scared of all the splitting and things like that going on. But like this sample held up forever. So I was always in my head, I'm like, it can work.
It can work when it's executed properly, but
that's there was just too much chance. So I was just like, all right, we'll not. And also, it was tougher for the, I guess, the weight matching, which is a big deal more so now.
It's a bigger deal now only because of how big kendamas have gotten. If Tamas keep getting bigger, there's just wood can only be so light, you know? And beech especially can vary so much. Like and we've been getting a lot of heavy beech that it's just if kendamas can't keep getting bigger and have them be the same weight, it's just impossible. So things like you guys are doing with splicing helps make it something unique, or it helps even the playing field with those types of things.
Yeah, and the batch that I got, like I sent you all the weights for them and everything. They were all pretty, very, very close.
Within
six for sure. But I had some that were just like out the box, like one or two different.
And I think that's what we're going to notice with this batch more than anything else. And just to let people know, there isn't a ton of them. Like we in the past, the last Lizzie drop, we had a ton and they were around for a long time. We have gone back to the ways of old where we have just enough, we think, to suffice for the community. So it isn't something that I would assume you can, if there are some left over after the weekend, my wholesalers are going to get a hold of them and you may not get one. So we're holding them for the retailer or for everyone on the website who wants them first to be able to get a shot at it. And then after the weekend, we'll offer to some of our epic wholesalers who help push Kendama.
I was wondering about how many there was going to be exactly. Yeah. So I was like, do the wholesalers have them already?
Well, so we have less than 300. Let me say that. There's less than 300, which isn't a lot for a Kendama of this design. But usually we offer everything to wholesalers first. But for this one specifically, we just don't have the... We didn't have it figured out soon enough. So everyone gets a chance for the website for the comeback of Luzi to get one.
It's legend shape, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah. Dude, the new legend shape. And I think I told Lou these other two points, but if not, sorry. And you're finding out now, Lou. We are going to have two. It's good. It's promise. I promise it's good stuff, not anything else. I have talked to Cody Booth and Sam downstairs and Shinya, and we are going to offer a cushion clear service on this product on the day of drop. We didn't buy any.
That is news to me.
Yeah, we haven't been buying them cushion clear because like we just have been buying sticky lately. But with all the cushion clear stuff we've been doing, we have the ability in house to pull it off. And so Sam wanted people to still be able to get cushion if they want. So, there will be an upgrade charge for cushion clearing if you would like to add that. And since you didn't know that, Lou, you're not going to know this either. I'm also going to let people ATAC the Kens if they would like, a white ATAC Luzi Ken. They can add that to their cart as well. And Sam will personally,
Get one of those. I should have thought of that.
Okay. I'll add you to the list. It's stuff that Sam added in this week's meeting, just cause he's like, you know, we've been having a good time downstairs doing it. People have been liking it. And this Dama is going to look sick cushioned and with an ATAC Ken. So,
completely white out.
It is not going to be cheap. Just so we're clear, these are add-ons to a product that was never supposed to have it. So if you do want these add-ons to your product, it's going to take 2 weeks or more to get it to you, but you will have a one-of-a-kind kendama that is unlike other stock ones. So I have a white Ken myself that I have been playing with, and I put it on the Ken the other day, and oh my gosh, dude. It's like... The white on white factor is something that you can't really like.
Is yours Kush too?
No, I didn't get a Kush one. You're the only one with Kush. I didn't have time to wait because I wanted to go film with it. So
I was gonna say, I was like, what's ATAC like on Kush?
Oh, dude, ATAC on Kush is it makes lighthouses a smidge difficult, but it makes everything else easy. You know what I'm saying? That's like the best way to put it. But this new sticky on ATAC that's been worn in. Remember that maple skidding problem I was telling you? When you put it on a white ATAC Ken, it really just sticks there, you know? So, you'll be able to get the base version from our website. I believe they're going to be $59.99 on the website for sale. And then if you want to add all the add-ons, it'll be... whatever it is.
Do you know what like the ATAC looks like when there's like engravings or something?
Yeah. So we've done it's sick. Yeah. And that's the only reason I okayed it is because it looks sicker than you can imagine. We did a Boo Johnson one with the sacred geometry, and we did a Bryson Lee one with the waves, and you feel the waves perfectly, and you can almost see it more because of the white like the shadows that the white creates on the, on the inlays, you know,
like so contrast in there.
I was really excited. So without even seeing one, I was like, I want one. So if I want one, I bet Lou and other people would want one. So so that would be a cool way just to make it special. Because like I said, this is a super special drop for me and Lou, because it's been a couple years and
years. Damn. I didn't realize that.
It's a 10-year Dama. I think it's a 10-year Dama. You know what I mean? I feel like it shows after 10 years how much work we've put into, you know, thinking about what we design and why and how. And I think if you look at the things you've designed for Suites as a whole, too, this really is a cool, like, 10-year addition at the very end of a long line of, like, cool-looking kendamas. So, I'm super excited.
Yeah, I was like, hitting that 10-year mark, I had no idea it was that. I was just like, damn, this is like my decade month.
I didn't think about it until I pulled that picture. I went back in my library of pictures to find one of you today, and I was like, dang, that's really been 10 years since I went over there. It doesn't
feel like 10 years ago, though.
No, bro. I mean,
it's the wild thing.
Ask Shane if he feels like it was 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, that seems – he probably can't believe it more than us, man, honestly.
Yeah.
Dude, with his new hip.
It got a new hip.
Yeah, I got a kid, dude. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Both of y'all, man. Like, when I knew y'all, y'all were just, I think you were still single.
Yeah, yeah, I was close.
Maybe.
I was never single for very long.
But yeah, it was just like back then, and I'm just like, and then to now, it's like, y'all got all kids and stuff, and I'm just like married. I was just like, damn.
Funny what 10 years will do to you, man. And you're just out here with your dog kicking it, having fun, art.
That's my child. I don't have a human child. Dude. I got my little doggo.
You got a cute little dog. Isn't he like a little, what's he, like a little greyhound?
Yeah, he's a little Italian greyhound.
Oh, dude. What's his name?
Stamper.
Stamper?
Yeah, okay. From Splatoon 3. It's one of the weapons in Splatoon 3.
Oh,
shout
dude.
Out to all the people who play Splatoon 3 with me.
Yeah, dude. Freaking Super Smash. Sling Shady wanted me to ask you about Super Smash. Apparently, you played with some of the best people in the world and like were goated at it at one point.
Oh, back in college, I was playing Melee like competitively. So this is like, you know, 07 through 9.
Yeah.
I guess where it was like my super competitive time. And I would win. I guess the biggest one I went to is like Pound 2. I mean, I don't place or anything like that, but it was just cool to like play against, you know, some really good players that you knew, like you've known of through Smash boards or how YouTube used to be anyway.
What character did you main?
I was known as a Bowser player.
Really?
Yeah. There was a lot of, I feel like, space animal players in North Carolina, so I did pretty well against them with Bowser.
Yeah.
Because it was just like everyone knows the normal matchups, you know, Marth and Fox or like Peach and stuff. But then someone throws out some low tier character and they don't know how to play against it.
Yeah.
Really didn't then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's really still pretty trash. from what I've seen and kept up with Melee, watching Mango and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mango. Did you play against him? Was he there?
He wasn't there. I think he was still. I think that's before he like broke out and like beat like Mewtwo King and then became like, you know, this super good top player.
Yeah, that's crazy. So is Splatoon what you game currently now, or do you game anything else?
Yeah, that's kind of all I game is Splatoon 3.
Dang. So are you ranked in that all the way up to S plus and stuff?
Yeah, they have X now. Dang. So we have an X rank. So
dang. So you in like a squad?
I don't have a quad anymore, but I usually play when I'm playing now. I'll play with Alex.
Ah, Hirota?
Hirota.
Yeah.
And then a couple other Dama homies, actually. Like, Earl will play sometimes, and then Isaac. I think Isaac was his Instagram's like Wivernesk.
Okay.
Or something like that. And I'll just play with them a couple times.
That's what's
usually it's just Alex. It's kind of nowadays.
Yeah, but no, there's always that one homie who sticks it out with you.
Yeah.
And that you can call out for a game, dude.
If you ever try to play, man, we're you know, we're always down.
Dude, I got so into it when I started playing the Switch and then just found other shooters, and shooters aren't my stuff, so it was so weird that I got so deep into it. But now I just have too many options is my current problem with gaming. Like I got Xbox Game Pass and stuff, and literally
You got another console. You have a whole nother system.
There's too many things. There's
the Switch, so it's just like,
yeah,
that's what I'm playing today.
No, dude, when I found
besides like my 64s and everything.
Yeah, no. When I got Steam on the computer, it was over. It was too much. Okay, I wanted to go back to Kendama just for one second, because when you started Kendama, it was like 2014. I was wondering, like, because you play Kendama as well. Like, you went ham for a minute. Like, were there people who was like inspiring you in the community when you started Kendama, you know, like non-sweets people that you really were like looking up to?
Sweets people, did you say back in the day? Sorry, I was responding to a weapon I used.
No, it's okay. When you started, who inspired you at the time? Do you remember who like the famous people were that you were like, dang, those people are sick. Like, I'm inspired to be a better Dama player because of these edits or
like
these people.
Christian Frazier, like his architecture studio, like just clips.
Yeah.
Were crazy. Like I really liked, who is it? Like Yumi Nakamura.
Yeah.
Her like speed trick B is insane. Like she's so fast.
The champ, dude.
So that just their like consistency and accuracy and speed was like crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Can't think, you know, we've all seen that like Japanese player in the parking lot video.
Yeah, of course.
I watched a lot of the Kusa B-roll, like the B-roll of them in Japan.
Yeah.
And that's when I like really watched, like, I don't know, you just get to see people grind a trick. Like, so you got to see, what's his name? Tomatsu.
Yeah.
Like he goes out of their little, what they called the dojo, I guess, whatever they were staying at. Mm-hmm. And then to that outside little patio. And he's in like business attire, it seems like a button up, like dress pants.
Yeah.
And then he grinds that trick and he's finally done. And he's like, you got it? He's like, yeah. And you see him just walk away and he's just drenched in sweat. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow, this is like, they really grind for these like tricks. And it's like, you know, not all of it's super easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like Turner Thorne doing the, I think he was working on a borders balance.
Yeah.
I
remember that video, dude. Actually, now that you sparked a memory of me, because I remember Tomatsu doing that in real life, I think, honestly, because it was like after some big fancy meeting. And
he just shows up, he's so all dry, but then by the time, you know, they don't show the whole thing, but by the time it's all cut and everything in the end, he's just drenched.
So, dude, that's so funny. Did you ever make it to KWC?
I never got to go, no.
Word.
And like the one event, though, I do want to go, if it's Japan, like I do want to go Catch and Flow. Like,
yeah,
there's just something to me like freestyle is like my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah. Do you have any do you have literal plans to go back over there to like go to Korea and see family and stuff again? Or
maybe, I would like to maybe next year.
Yeah,
I think next year would be cool. But yeah, if I do that trip, I'll definitely go from there because it's just like, yeah, once you're there, you're just like, you might as well.
Yeah.
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Flight. So.
Cool. Well, let me leave you with one last question, just like because I had a few written down.
And, question.
Yeah, there was you got what? There's a good question, chat.
Oh no, I said just a super easy question.
Oh, a super easy one. Okay, I got an easy one for you. No, it's I asked Sour Mash this, and I wanted to ask you because you know he does art. He always does art on different things, right? Like, so he always, like, one of his first things he said in the interview was, like, whatever was in my hands is what I did art on, you know? For you, like, you started on Kendama a lot. Is there a difference in canvases for you when it comes to doing your art as far as the spirals are concerned? Is a Kendama that much different than a shoe, that much different than an actual piece of paper?
Definitely different than paper just because of the volume that you're working with and how it feels in your hand. Just learning how to keep it stable without, you know, mess up your lines. Wood is very different just because, and definitely wood types. So I would have like a tester Tama sometimes and just test inks or the nibs on them just to see how much ink they're kind of putting out, because if it puts too much out, it's going to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
So to get crisp lines, you don't want it to be, you know, putting out a bunch of ink. I'd rather do a couple more passes than the ink to spread. So
yeah,
kind of learning to not have that happen. But doing on other things, I don't know. It's helped me. I think just working on things that have volume, and thinking about how a piece looks from different angles, like, cause you can't see it all. So it's like, you try to make a balance. At least in my head, like, I don't want to just start a spiral here and then just have it completely go back, and then this side you don't ever see a start to a spiral, which I mean it could be cool, but it's just like I always wanted there to be a balance to where you can, no matter what angle you looked at it, you kind of, I don't know, saw the picture. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it does make sense. I think that's cool. Do you use a vice to hold your dhammas? You said stability is a part, like when you are doing things, are you just setting it on a table, or do you have something that holds your pieces? Or
I should do that, like now like in my age, and use like a magnifier.
Yeah.
But like, no, I'm still going about it my old way of like either just propping myself up on the couch and like have my knees up and like maybe a pillow or something.
Yeah.
But like I'm in the worst possible positions probably to be doing it for a couple hours. And that's kind of like I've learned to take a little bit more breaks to stretch.
That's cool.
But before, when I would just, you know, my body was younger and didn't hurt as bad, like I would be able to just sit there hours and be like, oh damn, time flew. Like I wouldn't even realize, you know, how much time went by. But yeah, now I should definitely get like a magnifying glass and be actually able to have a better body position.
Yeah.
When I'm working.
You need one of those.
But I've been bad with it. I like to lay stuff on the ground and then just, you know, draw on it or paint.
Yeah. We need to get you a class. We need to get you like a Toy Story 2 setup, like that dude who fixes Woody, you know, how he gets all the magnifying glasses. Like,
I know it that well, but I'll act like I do.
No, Toy Story 2, like he has to, this old dude has to fix up Woody. So he like puts this little doll on this little like imagine like a barber's chair for a doll. But then he has like these magnifying glasses where he goes chick, 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 chick. And like you can see super close and like. All these
that's
tiny.
Exactly what I need.
So I imagine like a holder for a Tama that's just like this, where you put it on and then you're like, you go tink, tink, tink. And like people in chat know what I'm talking about. Okay. okay. Well, I don't.
I definitely need some jeweler glasses or something like that.
Yeah, dude. Is there one piece that's coming up in the future that you're excited about that you can share with the chat? Or should we just, do you want to tease us with anything before we leave?
This is just some old mag from, I guess, when I ordered this. Let me see. But it had like Kendama in it, but I think it has their ad. So this guy.
Oh, what?
Let me see if it, once it pops up.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. So I've sent it. So I had one still. And I still swear that it's the best Kendama holster.
It is.
That's been created. Like, it's good for left-handers, right-handers. Like, you can put it on whatever side you want, and it's. And it fits you.
Yes.
And it still fits modern day kendamas.
It does.
Surprisingly. Mm-hmm. But I have sent that to like the guy I've worked with that reuses like sails and stuff to make bags.
Yeah.
I've sent that to him to be like, can we make this? And he's like, yeah. So that's kind of what I've been working on.
Oh!
Making that, recreating that holster.
Oh my god, I can't wait. I mean, dude, it's Christmas times too. My
like
god.
I love that holster so much, and I'm like, nobody does it still. And like Resistant didn't want to do a collab, like that was years ago. And
then
I was just like, after, you know, getting that connection with him, it clicked. I was like, could you make this? He's like, for sure. So I sent it to him. and we might make some changes, like get it a little bit bigger just so it can fit like the modern kendamas a little better.
Yep, just a smidge.
Yeah, but that's kind of that's the I guess thing I'm working on that'll
I mean
hopefully come out soon.
I am dying. It's my favorite holster too. I bought one the first time I went to Japan, and the last time I was in Japan, Max gifted me that one that I was showing you because I had lost my last one. So but I believe everything you said. I have every holster and it is my favorite. I think it looks the coolest. I think it protects the dhamma the best. It's like it is everything you said. So if there's one coming out Luzumaki style, I want 100 of them. So
yeah, we're definitely like doing a small batch first, and then I'll be able to probably put in one later with them. I just wanted to see what the kind of, I don't know, response would be. Like, I know you would remember what holster that is, but you know, like, I don't know if a lot of new players even have seen that holster before.
Yeah. When I think to Cody's point in chat, even if you liked it or wanted one, they are kind of expensive. Like, they're not a cheap holster. Like, they were were 70, 80 bucks, I think, for one holster. So.
Yeah, they were pricey.
Yeah. But again, it's made of a material that doesn't break down. Like, these are like like messenger bag style material that doesn't.
It's like Cordura or something, like,
yeah,
really like can take a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to see, you know, that you still have one, and it's at least what, 10 years then?
Yeah, so that, well, that
9 years maybe.
That one's brand new. Hey, dog, get out of here.
Yeah, I wish I could show it mine, but I don't have it.
So this is the one I've had for 10 years. And it's been around the world, you know? Like,
And you had that like digital camo one.
Yeah, this was the digital camo one. And then
mine was just the pure black, so I couldn't really see the fading really. But the ears is getting all the wear and he really had a freshie.
He had a freshie. I couldn't believe it, bro. You want to know how it works? People don't even know how they work. So yeah, here. This loop, this clip goes around your loop on your pants. Okay, so this is on your pants or your bag.
Yeah, your bag.
Yeah, and then here, this loop, you undo this, and then your kendama goes in here, like this. Sure. And then this goes underneath to clasp it in. And this is all stretchy, so it can stretch to be as big as your dama needs. And this is all loosened, so you can loosen it to be as tight or as loose as you need. And then this top part holds it in.
And it's got the two buckles, just so, you know, if you want to put it on your left or right side, it's still, you know, facing the correct way.
Yeah, it's, and it's just, it feels nice. Like, it feels durable. It feels like it's not going to go anywhere. Not to talk bad about other holsters. I've made lots of holsters, but none of them feel like this when you feel how secure it is. So I can't wait to put my new Luzumaki Legend Shape kendama in my Luzumaki.
Eventually, that'll be out. Well, hopefully within a couple months.
We'll see. That'd be sick, dude. That'd be so sick. Well, Lou, I really appreciate you joining the pod, man, today. I could talk to you all day long about dama, but it's been really nice having you on and reminiscing on the past. Yeah, dude. Thanks for always being in chat, too, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. I support the stream. I sub when I can. Yeah, I sub right now.
dude, you being on is enough, bro. We're gonna keep supporting you.
I'm still subbed. Sorry. See,
look at you, you're on, bro. You've been in chat a ton lately. I can't wait for my ring to get here, dude. I'm gonna be rocking that Lizzie.
The round square stuff. Yeah. That stuff was surprising.
Was it? You were expecting it to take longer to move?
Yeah. I think so.
The pendants were gone in minutes, right? Like, they weren't there very long at all.
Yeah, and he said he kind of figured that those would go, and then the rings might sit, like, a couple days just because of, like, you know, size just requirements, you know?
Yeah.
If it's too small, someone's not going to get it. But also, let me know what size you get how it fits, and if mine that I have is any bigger, I'll mail it your way.
Yeah, sick. Yeah, it shipped out this week, just so I'll trade let you me. Know. Yeah, we'll do a trade season.
Mine just sits on the shelf.
Well, I gotta send you a ATAC Luzumaki anyway. So
yes.
All right, buddy.
I didn't think of that, man.
I didn't think about it. It's Sam. We can all thank Sam for telling me, like, why don't we just do this? I was like, I guess. Like, I was just worried that they were gonna get bombarded downstairs with all the stuff, but they've done a really good job, I guess, of keeping it straight and whatever. So I'm excited, and you guys should be too. This Friday, drop in at.
Are we dropping it at noon?
Yeah, we are dropping it at noon. We're dropping the noon at noon on Friday CST. Luzumaki, I appreciate you a lot, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it. All right, bye, buddy. Chat. Peace.
Later.